That's right. Welcome in, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Always Ira Show. As always, thank you for joining me. You can find this channel on the very popular website known as YouTube.com. Hit subscribe if you haven't already. I appreciate that. And if you approve of the content after it's all done, go back and give it a thumbs up. I appreciate that as well. On the app known as Twitter, search Always Irish Rat, JKZND4. Emails, alwaysirishnd at gmail.com. Audio only anywhere you want me. You could get me. Merchandise link below in the description. Get yourself a Make Frank Proud shirt, okay? I think everybody should do that, and that should be our goal as Notre Dame fans, is to make Frank proud. So, I had some things planned for this week, but I'm going to push it back to next week because something else popped up that's ultra relevant. So I'm not saying I'm good at what I do here. I'm not saying that I have a pretty good feel of what's important around Notre Dame. I'm not going to say those things, but multiple things I have been speaking directly about recently, as recent as my shows last week even, have again come to fruition in Notre Dame land. I spoke at length last week about two different things. One, my concern about the lack of experience with the offensive line of Notre Dame moving into next year. That's one thing I've been hitting hard recently here. And the second thing I've been hitting hard is the need for Notre Dame to be tranny champions. The transfer portal. You got to be a tranny champion. Okay? Those are two big things I've been talking about. Sure enough, here we are this week. Notre Dame must also share the concerns I had about the offensive line depth and experience on the starting front for next year. So what do? They go into the transfer portal and get Kane Madden to grad transfer into Notre Dame. So we're hitting everything that... This is what gives me comfort. It gives me comfort to know that the exact things I'm thinking about and worrying about, I'm seeing Notre Dame follow through on. Maintaining a constant effort in the transfer portal and worrying a little bit about this offensive line and what it could look like. Notre Dame shares the same thoughts I do. That gives me peace of mind and comfort to know they're looking at it the same way. Okay. So in an offensive line room, short on experience going into next year, Notre Dame lands Marshall grad transfer, Kane Madden, 6'3", 313, 31 career starts under his belt. His nickname is the dump truck. He ain't even a kid. 24 years old. Okay, 24 years old. 93 running blocking grade from Pro Football Focus in 2020. No sacks allowed. No hits allowed. 6 pressures allowed all year. He was a second-team All-American, okay? So, a few thoughts. Many thought he was leaning heavily towards joining Florida State. Notre Dame ended up winning this battle. They are to be congratulated for doing so. Recruiting through the portal is a different style of recruiting than recruiting high school kids. You got to figure out what works, what your approach is, how to approach kids. It's a totally different world. Notre Dame seems to be navigating it fairly well. I give them credit for that. And they won out for this kid's services over Florida State. Okay? So that's number one. You could click it in the win column in terms of portal and recruiting. So I gave you his accolades, yet still, many people don't like this kid or his body of work. There are Notre Dame writers that you all know the names of, And I've seen at least one guy say, I don't like this. He's overrated, overvalued, wasn't playing the best competition, whatever it is. So this is not universal that everybody's doing cartwheels over this. There are certain people that think this guy is very, very overrated and not quite what he's being built up to be based off his accolades on paper that I just gave you. So I'm trying to be fair here. It's not a slam. You didn't just get Quentin Nelson back is what I'm saying. Okay. So there are, everybody's not on board with this. Let's make that clear. Here's my thought. I don't think Notre Dame is in the position right now to think like that with how little experience they had on this starting offensive line prior to this move. I just don't think Notre Dame fans are in a position to sit there and look at this and poo-poo it and say it's a negative, a wasted scholarship. Why are you doing this? I just don't think where this offensive line room is at right now, that people around Notre Dame are in the position to have that take. I don't. Some other years with other depth or whatever, I might look at this differently. But where we are and how it was looking like, we were probably going to have two offensive linemen starting. I don't think Notre Dame people are in a position to poo-poo this move as a bad move, wasted time, wasted scholarly, whatever. So there are positives and negatives to this that we need to go over. Positive. Experience. That's one thing this line doesn't have a lot of, other than Patterson coming back off the injury. So having a guy with a veteran presence that started over 30 games seems to have held his own. There's people that don't like his tape, don't like his film. Don't believe he's a dump truck like his nickname. Think that he's overrated, overranked, okay? But going off the accolades I'm reading, no sacks allowed, no hits, six pressures, 93 run block, brought grade, all that. Experience is the big thing here to me. You're bringing in another guy. He's not a kid. He's a 24-year-old man that could help this room navigate some of the challenges an offensive line has throughout any given week and throughout the year. I think that experience is very important to help kind of balance things out on this revamped offensive line. Okay. So that is a positive. The experience is a positive. The paper accolades I just read you are a positive. On the negative side, this most likely means Rocco Spindler will not start. Depends who you ask if that's a positive or a negative. Depends who you ask. Now, is this good or bad to me? Well, that leads me to another question that I have. And one I think is still relevant. People are sick of me asking. But if I'm asked whether I like that this means Spindler likely won't start, I respond to your question with another question. This all depends on whether you are reloading or rebuilding. My entire opinion on this situation has to do with the question, are we reloading or are we rebuilding? That's why I bring this up every single week, because everything ties into it. People are sick of hearing it, but here I am again asking the question, are we reloading or rebuilding? The answer to that will dictate my feelings on this move. If you are reloading, I totally get bringing this kid in as a starter. Spindler can redshirt or whatever and still have not lose that year or whatever. If you're reloading, I get it. You're in win now mode. Inputting this guy makes perfect sense then. If you're rebuilding, then I totally disagree with this. It's a waste. Start the young guy. Get the experience going for the future of the offensive line when the team can compete for a playoff spot again. Okay? So that's how I see this. And that's why my entire framework of whatever happens is reloading versus rebuilding in 2021. So I can't answer this right now because I don't know which it is. I don't know which it is. But if we end up with three losses halfway through the year, guess what? You're not reloading. That's a rebuild. I'd rather have the young guy get the experience. If you're reloading and you're going to win 11 games and compete for the playoff, love this. Great move. Great move. So to me, is this good or bad? I don't know. Are you reloading or rebuilding? That matters. That's my framework. I need to know the answer to that question to know how I feel about this player taking a starting spot from a young kid. So you might say that's a cop-out. I'll say it's legitimate, and I don't know the answer. Rebuild, reload. You're reloading. I get it. You're in win now mode. Put the guy with 30 starts in. His nickname's the dump truck. If you're rebuilding and you're really not going to be that competitive, let me see the young guys grow, get the learning curve going, the growing pains out of the way when you're not going to win anything big this year anyways. So this is why it all comes back to this. Kelly and Quinn and Freeman and Reese, they got to have a really good pulse of where this is at. Making this move suggests to me they think it's a reloading move, not a rebuilding move. This isn't something you do if you're rebuilding, I don't think. Okay, because here's the thing. Why would this guy come here at 24 years old as a grad transfer to sit the bench for Notre Dame one more year? That makes no sense to me. So I'm going off the assumption that the plan is for this guy to start. Otherwise, it makes no sense for him to come to Notre Dame for a year just to hang out and then leave as a 25-year-old. That makes no sense to me. No sense to me. But overall, to judge this, I got to know if it's rebuilding or reloading to answer it. Otherwise, I can't appropriately answer it. Right now, even Kelly and Quinn and these guys don't know. But we're going to find out. We're going to find out quick. And then I'm going to make my judgments. And if Kelly's right, I will applaud him. If we have three losses and we're not even through October, guess what? You're rebuilding. And I disagree with the move. Should have got the guy experience. So it's critical that this staff has a pulse of exactly where this position group is at and where the program's at overall. Now, the other piece of this, that in an effort to be totally fair, I need to acknowledge, respect, and appreciate is the following. Coaches do not have the ability to see things the way I do with the rebuild, reloading. It's a lot easier for me to say, start the young kid, get the learning curve going, all that. Coaches don't feel that they have the leeway to operate that way. They got to look at winning as many games as they can the year in front of them. So I understand for the internal Notre Dame folks, it isn't as clear cut as reloading, rebuilding the way I frame it, but it's still the big question. It's still the big question. Even if they can't operate the way I think, this philosophical point still applies. Still applies. Okay? So here's the thing. The next question is, what happens to Patterson and Lug, guard versus tackle? How you're going to move those guys around to accommodate this new guy? That it's just amazing to me. This portal stuff blows my mind. Last week, I put out a show stressing out about the depth and experience and lack thereof of this offensive line unit. And these are the guys we have, and they're the guys we have. Poof! A week later, the whole dynamic of that position group has shifted. The portal is a band-aid for a lot of things. You can make up a lot of ground in the portal for what you need if you're good at it and your program's appealing for people to jump to. So that portal changes things. It's just no longer you recruited these guys, they're your guys, till the next guys come in, you recruit. You can fill a lot of gaps, build a lot of depth this way, and maybe, just maybe, find a hidden gem that ends up being a star for you. Okay? So, in regards to what happens to Patterson and Lug and how they're going to move this around, what happens to the potential reps Spindler would have got before all this, all of that, that's up for Quinn, Brian Kelly, and Tommy Rees to figure out. You just got to figure out what's best for the overall group and their cohesion and what positions put each of these guys in the best spot for them to be the best player they could be. So I don't know the answers to that. I'm not an offensive line expert. I'm going to let those guys figure out what positional blend is best with this group. Overall, it's hard for me to not like adding experience and depth to this group, which was one of my chief concerns of next year. It's really hard for me to not like this. But I still got to see whether it's a rebuild or a reload to look back and decide whether it was the right thing to do or not. I reserve the right to say that. Okay? But I don't know that answer now. So as I sit today, and I remember the stress I felt going over that offensive line situation in a show the last couple weeks, it's hard for me to poo-poo the idea that you're getting some experience and depth and leadership in this room for a group that needed it. So we will wait and see, though, to judge this by the results of next year. Reload versus rebuild. That answer is going to dictate how I feel about this move in retrospect. Notre Dame and Kelly and Quinn need to have a hold on where this line is. They gotta know the dynamic, okay? At a minimum, you just got extra quality depth. Even if this means it bumps Spindler out so he's not getting all that experience as a freshman, you have more depth now in that room. Do you think all these guys were going to stay healthy all year with no issues? You just found yourself some more flexibility. It's hard for me to not like that based on where this position group was going into this week. So that's my thoughts on it. Now, other news. Donovan Heinisch picks Notre Dame. Kurt's brother. Okay, 3-star guy, defensive tackle, 15th at the position in his state, 33rd overall. Here's the deal. No, this is not the 5-star guy, whatever that we all want. I get that. When you're going with a Heinisch, you know what you're going to get. Reliable, loyal, physical, tough. I'll be honest with you. My feelings on Kurt Heinisch, I've grown to respect the way he plays more and more the more I've seen him. And he's built himself to be a reliable cog in this defensive line that we've come to rely on. So what this is a safe move for everybody involved. The Heinisches know all about Notre Dame. Notre Dame knows all about the Heinisch family and what they're going to get out of this guy. It's a comfortable arrangement, tough, physical, reliable, all of that stuff. I've heard different people be really high or not so high on Donovan. But I just think for Notre Dame, it's that familial lineage, toughness, reliability, and loyalty you know you're going to get out of the Heinisch name that makes this a safe scholarship to offer. You know what you're going to get. You know the kind of kid he is. You know the kind of family it is. You know the reliability and stability that comes with bringing a Heinisch in. That's a comfortable fit for both sides, player, family, coach. Okay? So that's that. Here's what we're going to finish on. Nick Saban inks a deal, an extension with Alabama, to coach throughout 2028. Oh, by the way, I just want to mention, Alabama comes to South Bend in 2028, okay? So any hope of things getting easier on the road to elite in terms of recruiting with maybe Saban retiring in a year or two or whatever, that ain't happening anytime soon. So you're not going to get some Saban's gone and then it helps everybody else out in the country. Nope. Notre Dame's going to have to do it on their own. Get better at recruiting on their own. Elite recruiting on their own. You ain't getting any help here. You're not getting any help. So he's going to be around a long time and come to South Bend in 2028. It's not going to get any easier, you guys. He's doing what he's doing, and it's rolling like it's rolling, and it's not going to change. It's on us to step our game up, not just hope this old guy retires, and then they come back to the pack and level things out. That's not going to happen, so we need to be on the offensive in terms of recruiting, steal some elite guys, make our own moves. But it'd be very interesting to see Nick Saban roaming the Notre Dame sidelines in 2028. That's all I have for the day. Let me know what you guys think about all this in the comment section. Talk to you later.